people who are listening to Ancient News. This is the first time, though I sound like an NPR episode this time. Really soft and quiet. You're here, as my wife would say when you're on speakerphone, you're here with my wife and me, Maddie Cox. This is the first time an Ancient News episode has been recorded in our new house.
Did they hear you yawn just now?
It'll be edited out. We're not going to start with an 11-second yawn. I was watching the clock, and I'm yawning and speaking like I'm hosting NPR because we haven't slept in a month. It's been a month.
Over a month. 4:30 a.m. wake-up call every day.
Between 2 and 4:30. It just depends on the flavor of the day for our kid right now. What's happening?
It's pretty horrible. But it's nap time right now, and here we are.
We are recording this episode in our brand new living room of our brand old house.
We call it 103 Chatham. Some people say Chatham. Some people say Chatham. Some people say... I heard a new one the other day.
What did you hear? Chatham.
I heard Chatham.
Oh, yeah. I heard that one, too. Where were we? I don't remember.
Taking a poll for you guys. How do you all think we are supposed to say our street name? It's spelled C-H-A-T-H-A-M. It's a real big toss-up right now.
My vote is Chatham. Like Chatham, but without the ha.
It's kind of where I was going, but I've heard a few different interpretations.
Heard a few different things. Our current situation is, there's a lovely candle burning in the middle of the room right now. Our dog, who somehow, when she tucks her arms under her, she looks like a centipede. Like
a chicken.
A chicken. She's asleep. Her nights have been disturbed too. She gets quite frustrated when we don't attend to Jude quick enough in the middle of the night. She comes and tells us.
She gets antsy, and you can hear her little claws tapping on the floor.
Clink, clink, clink.
She heard you talking about her.
Yeah, she woke up. She woke up. She's looking for us now.
Everyone say hi to Dobby.
Dobby's a girl, and she's named after a male house elf, which is great.
The personality fits, though.
Yes. She's valiant and tender and sweet and loyal. She's all the things.
What's something that you've been surprised about from our new house so far?
How creaky the floors are.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed that? And there's some places that are uneven, and if you forget about it, you will possibly fall. I'm a tall dude, and I lose my balance. I don't want to say I lose my balance fairly easy, because I don't think that's true. But in like uneven light, and if I'm at all sleepy, I sometimes like tilt.
Wow, didn't know that.
I thought you would laugh at that, but you didn't.
We're married, and I had no idea.
Okay.
You want to know the thing I'm most surprised about?
What?
The water pressure.
Do you think it's good or bad?
It's bad. It's so powerful that it's bad.
Oh, okay. That's like, dang, I thought it was really strong.
It's really strong. And when you go to the sink, our sink is not... the spigot of the sink is facing too far out, and the water pressure is really strong. So when you turn it on, it completely destroys you.
Yeah, it turns into Dolly Splash Country in the kitchen if you're not careful.
Dobby Splash Country.
That's it. That's the name of the episode. Welcome to Ancient and New. My name is Thomas. I am a regular contributor to this, and a fellow regular contributor is my wife Maddie, who also is here.
I wouldn't say regular contributor.
I would say at this point you're.
Thanks for saying that.
If Lee and I are the regular hosts, you're like the next person.
The understudy.
No, that sounds like you're
the sub. The pinch runner.
Pinch runner. Okay. Baseball season's back.
Isn't that what you say, pinch runner?
Who in your mind is going to win the World Series this year? Or just quick, say it quick.
You don't want to know what came to my mind first. I will say the Braves.
No, but I want to know what you thought. You don't have to be a Braves fan. We've had that conversation.
Well, what came to my mind was the Cardinals, just because that's the one I've seen the most games of.
The Cardinals fresh off being swept by the Braves. I honestly think the Braves swept them this weekend. I could be wrong about that.
Sorry, Bill.
I don't think Bill listens to this. Anyways, we are going to look at a scripture today. It's obviously Holy Week when you'll be getting this episode. It will be what is known as Maundy Thursday. Mm. I think we drop our episodes on Thursdays. So, Maddie is the Young Life team leader for our team in Oak Ridge and is on staff for Young Life in Anderson County. And we were sitting in our pre-club meeting last night and she read us this place in Hebrews chapter 12 and had a cool thought about it. And I thought, dang, if anyone else in the world needs to hear this, it's the four people who listen to Ancient and New. So let's kick in. Are you ready?
Ready.
I'm going to read it. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Dang, I just did a tongue click. You got to edit those out. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Maddie, I would love it if you would kick us off and say, hey, this is the thing that kind of occurred to me when I was talking about this and reading this the other day.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool. It was kind of a surprise that it brought me to thinking about Holy Week, but I really like the part, obviously, where it says, my version is a little different that I pulled up right here. It's in the NLT. But it says, because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. And I just thought about, like, the way my life is now and all the things that have come in and out of it for my good because Jesus endured the cross and that he counted it joy. And he kind of looked past, like, Lee said a cool thing, too, last night. He said, like, if I'm on his mind while he's on the cross, then, like, all of that is just a split second of suffering for what is to come. Like, if it's going to win me back that he goes to the cross, it was worth it to him. And he looked ahead at the joy that would come from me being saved because of what he did. And he knew before I even knew what he was going to do with my life. And I think that's really cool, like, that he was thinking about that. And that's what pushed him across the finish line into something really horrible and hard and something I can't even fathom ever. I will never experience what he did on the cross, but the fact that he did it for me and that he knew there was joy coming because of what he was going to do, and that once that clicked in my mind that my whole life would change, and it would like alter the course of my life, that I wouldn't, like, if I didn't experience the good news that he did that on the cross for me, I wouldn't have the life I do. I wouldn't be married to you. I wouldn't have Jude, and I wouldn't have the job I do, and just the sweet life that we get to have.
That's cool. I we were talking about this last night, and the thing that is something that I just want to be better at believing is the part about for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Just the idea that somehow it would, like, I am, it was more so the thought that, like, that's, I am worth that. No, worth it. Well, yeah, but, like, somewhere in there, it brought him joy considering me in there. And that's what you're saying. But for me, I want to turn up the volume on that in my life. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's hard for me. Well, I was talking about this, this week with some high schoolers, in a Bible study that I lead. And one thing we looked at was, there's this really cool place in, I think almost all the Gospels says this thing specifically, except for, I want to say it was Matthew or Mark, but, when Jesus is about to ride into town, on what is now Palm Sunday on the donkey, he tells a couple of his disciples to go ahead of him into the town and ask for this colt, and if they say, you know, if the owner is like, what are you doing, say the Lord needs it. And there's this tiny little verse that says, and it was exactly how they said it would, how Jesus said it would be, like, it was just how he said it would be. And that's a place in my life where I'm like, okay, cool, I can trust, like, it just was pointing at me and saying, I can trust that how the Lord says it's going to be is how it's going to be. Lee was talking about last night in our Young Life Club that like evidence of that is the fact that he said he would come back, and he did when he died. And he will, which I think is really cool. And it was when we were looking at stuff on Sunday night, my Bible study, I asked him that question, like, hey, what are some things that we know that the Lord says is true about us or is going to be true in the coming times? And we were just like knocking down a list of like, you know, just name, you could think of 20 things right now and we could apply the scripture to them. And I was thinking last night when we were talking about this, I'm jumping around in time a lot, so this could get really confusing. But when we were talking about in our pre-club meeting this scripture, I was just saying, that's an easy thing for me to file away in the cabinet of like, I know this is true. I know the Lord feels that or felt that way and feels this way about me, that I'm like, the thought of me like is a good one. Like I'm, mm-hmm. He has good thoughts about me. He likes me. It brought him joy somehow to die for me. And he wanted me that much. Like I can file that away and say, I know that that's factually true. It's hard for me to like, it's a thing I want to get better at is turning the volume up on that and believing that. Mm-hmm. Like I want to believe that more, 'cause I think it would change me in a lot of ways. I think it would, knock out some things I struggle with and some insecurity and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So I think that was like, that was like my main thing last night when I read this. And then when I was reading through it, literally as we were doing the show, it occurred to me just that the book of Hebrews was written just kind of encouraging people to persevere and to say like, keep going. This is hard. Keep going. And I'm just looking at this and I feel like it's a great snapshot and summary of that. And, you know, the end of this saying, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And it's also saying, let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles and run the race with perseverance that was marked out for you. Just to say like, hey, like in view and in remembrance of the fact that like Christ, for the joy set before him, Christ did this, and the fact that he did it, keep going. He bought you, he paid for you. You are walking with him and you were chosen by him and you're choosing to walk that life out with him. Keep doing it. There's a lot of reasons to keep doing it. One of them is the fact that you were worth purchasing. And it's encouraging me for me to read that.
Yeah, I like that we were talking, me and you today at lunchtime, about how really Easter is like the happiest holiday of the year. Like we, and just thinking about all the buildup that pushes you to Christmas and then like the Christmas blues that hit afterwards. I don't really feel that with Easter. Like honestly, Easter kind of like sums up this scripture to me. It's a big, like it's a big refresher and an encouraging time for me to think about my faith and to say like, he did it. He died on the cross for me. He endured that painful thing and I was on his mind. And when he rose from the dead, he sealed the deal. Like it was all true. It really is true. Like all of the good things that can come into my life now and all like all the hope I can have and the faith and the trust in him, it's sealed. It's real. And that kind of gives me like, even when Easter's over, I'm like, oh my gosh, like that's the good news, like injected back into my spirit. And I really need it. Like, I feel like it's come at the perfect time for me right now. Like this just time of remembrance and gratitude and mourning on Friday and celebrating on Sunday is really just what I need. Like, it's just what I need, because I feel like people have told me this before too. Like if you ever get discouraged in your faith, go back and read what Jesus has done on the cross. Just go back to the gospel and relive it, relearn it, and let it, like you said, it's one thing to know it. I feel like once you hear it a few times, it's like, oh yeah, I could recite what happens in my sleep. I know the story. I know what happens. I know what I believe, quote unquote. But Tom said a really sweet thing on Sunday about the difference in believing maybe factually and believing it like with your whole heart and your whole life. It's like kind of like drinking like a really sweet drink. Like I want to drink this and I want to eat this. And like Jesus said to do with his body and his blood. And I want to, like, when I read scripture, I want it to encourage me that way. I want it to be everything I have. I want it to be the only thing that can get me through the day. And do you care? I found this scripture that you just read, and I found it in the message earlier, and can I read it to you? It's really cool.
Yeah, go for it.
It says this. It says, "Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all the veterans cheering us on. It means we'd better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished the race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there, in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again. Item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through. And that will shoot adrenaline into your soul." I'm like, dang. Mm. I know the Knoxville Marathon was this past weekend, and I've never run a marathon, but I ran half marathon distance wise. I ran a lot of miles in high school, and because I ran cross country and track. And I'm just thinking about this in like race terms. Like, mm. This week we get to celebrate his finish, like the big finish, and just that feeling that I'm sure Jesus had once, like, once he rose, honestly. But like, I feel like when you're a runner, you know, like the last 800 meters of a race is going to be like the toughest mentally, honestly, like really like the last mile. If you're running a 3 mile race, the last mile is really hard, and especially the last 800 meters, because that's where you're supposed to kick in. And that's where you kind of start really feeling all the pain and all the stretching of your muscles, and you just want to quit. But it's also at that point in the race where you're like, there's nothing I can do now but go harder and faster and just to do it, because I know what's coming. I can see the end. And it makes me like really excited to think about that. That's how Jesus was thinking of us. Like, he knew the cross was coming. He knew it was going to be really horrible. He even said, if there's any other way, but he knew that we would be on the other side of that finish line. And I'm like, oh my gosh, he really pushed through it so that he could cross it and finish it. And what would come on the other side of that is a million lives that are going to be forever changed and rescued and saved because of that race that he ran.
That's cool. Well, great one, baby. It was awesome. Anything else you want to add? Oh, that was great.
Nope.
We hope, and thank you so much for listening. We're just thankful that we get to do this, and I guess we could do it. We could do this even if nobody listened, but we're thankful that people listen, and we love doing it. And we hope that this was encouraging, and maybe at some point during, I don't know, this weekend, we were talking about how for us, this is it's a sweet holiday and a sweet family holiday, but maybe for you, this is tough and challenging because family. So maybe you find yourself at some point this weekend slipping away and listening to this, and the words of my lovely wife are encouraging you. Thanks, babe. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I am Thomas.
I'm Maddie.
And this has been Ancient New.
Oh, love so deep and strong, so unafraid of pain. You chased my wayward heart through wrong. You bore my darkest stains. You bled. Scorned and betrayed, but still pursuing me. Oh, with your guiltless blood you paid the price to ransom me. You paid for me. so